You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
Final Word Daily, Adam Collins and Jeff. My voice is still back. And that's why Jeff's going to tell us all about the final day here in 30 seconds.
3 for 192 when West Indies resumed. Pat Cummins was on the field captaining, but still wasn't bowling. It was up to someone else, and it was Nathan Lyon. 6 for 128, I'm going to say.
Yep.
The first two wickets of the day, which were important, Mayers and then Craig Brathwaite, who was not out overnight on his century. He was out for 114. There, 16, thereabouts. And, they managed to chip their way through them. Good resistance from the West Indies. Roston Chase fought hard. Some swinging from Elzari Joseph. They batted for quite a long time into the day, 333, not bad in the fourth innings, but they lose by 126.
Yeah, they batted, I think, for 111 overs for the 333 with the captain, Brathwaite, top scoring with 110. Loved the podcast with you and Brett talking about that last night, adding 9 runs to his overnight tally. But it was really the fact that he lost Kyle Mayers early on,
yep,
which just meant that the equilibrium was off. He hit a beautiful cover drive to start Mayers, and we're thinking, well, you know,
he's done it before.
He's done it before, 300 to win on the final day. They hit 285 on that final day in Chittagong on his test debut when he made that famous 210 not out last year. But as soon as Mayers was gone, Brathwaite lasted about another half an hour before he was bowled by Lyon. Pinned back on the crease, really good bowling, because Lyon, I thought, did a better job of setting it wider outside the off stump than picking his moments to come straight, whereas sometimes it can be the opposite with him deeper into a test match.
Yeah.
And from there, he was in his groove. He went past Ashwin and his 442 test wicket, so he's into outright 8th, I think.
Eighth,
it is now.
Yeah,
he's overtaken 9 bowlers in the last 12 months, Lyon, including Ashwin. I'm sure Ashwin and he will go back and
neck
forth.
And neck. Snakes and ladders.
Make our way. I just interviewed him then on radio, actually, and we had that conversation about how next year it's going to be, you know, in not that small part, it'll be a face-off between the two senior spinners. But
I wonder if it will actually be face-off. Imagine if they swapped faces and they had to go
that would
pretend
be
to be one another for some sort of secret government business. So with Lyon, the thing was the way that he tricked him in the air. So he got Mayers under the front foot when he shouldn't have been playing off the front foot, edging one to slip. And he got Brathwaite playing off the back foot when he shouldn't have been playing off the back foot. And that just made it too difficult. The ball spun in. He ended up just, you know, desperately trying to keep it out. Crashed into his stumps, and there was nothing he could do from there. And so it's not like it was game over, but having dislodged those two, it was like it'll be a matter of time until the Australians work through the rest of them. And they will, and they won't have to use Cummins. They brought Travis Head in. You know, Cameron Green bowled some. But Travis Head's turning into a useful option. There was a bit of spin on the last day, and what do you know? He picks up the next wicket.
I think with Head, it's flight, isn't it? He bowls slower than Lyon. And when the breeze suits, as it's all the way through the test match, it's been gusty in there, in the seeding bowl. And he was able to get a couple to just to drift away beautifully. And yeah, that was certainly his second wicket, was purely through that device. And you're right, this year he took the 4 for goal, which granted was on a dust bowl and all the rest of it, sandpit, Thomas Muster stuff. But this one was not. And 2 wickets here, in addition to 99 runs, a great restart to the year for him, having had that lull in the middle.
The observation from our colleague Ethan Meldrum that when Travis Head got Jason Holder out, he overtook Jason Holder for test wickets this year. That was Travis Head's 5th test wicket of the year, and Holder's taken 4. Yeah, the Holder one wasn't a great delivery, but it was a wide ball. He threw his bat at it, nicked it. But the one that took the edge that Steve Smith ended up picking up, I mean, that beats Alex Carey. That edge is going so quickly that it goes past Carey's gloves. Yep. It's on the inside of the first slip. He's
never
going
easy.
To go back towards the keeper, and he takes it diving across both legs in the air. And here's the thing, maybe you've picked up on this as well. The bit, you know, that 3 years or so where Steve Smith wasn't batting so well, his catching wasn't good either. And yep. I think, like, I've seen a correlation between the two. When he's catching flies at first slip, that's when he's batting well at the same time. And it seemed notable that those two things dipped, and now his catching's back up as his batting seems to have got back
145 up. Catches at test level, Steve Smith, which puts him
50 off Nathan Lyon.
51 off Nathan Lyon now, which that, we might just hold on to that for the Hall of Fame later. I've got a little stat for that one.
Right.
But the way he caught throughout the test, really, he's got only 4 people are ahead of him for Australia in terms of catches at test level. And and as Simon Cadditch was pointing out on our commentary at some point today, that walking into the New South Wales dressing room at like 19, he was immediately into the cordon. And usually it's kind of a bit of a seniority thing, right?
Yeah.
He stands at first and second, but Smith straight away had those big hands and knew what to do with them.
Big hands, I know you're the one. Josh Hazlewood bowled way better than 1 wicket.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, bowled.
When he got that wicket, so he threw his head back like, at last,
finally. But it was the same in the first innings as well. He bowled so well through the test match. He just does the Josh Hazlewood thing. He gets Joshua De Silva trying to punch off the back foot, and that's always a risky sort of shot to play. I remember Vic Marks telling us about this in Perth a few years ago. He's like, you never play that shot in Perth. Like, he was talking about the old whacker, but with the bounce, he's like, you can't do that. That's not a shot that you're allowed to play. And he tried to go for it to back foot punch through cover point and ends up nicking into the cordon. But it was kind of fun with the Roston Chase show with Eldazari Joseph, because Chase was just blocking it out as he's wont to do. He did hit 1-6.
He did.
I love when they, maybe I'll save that for Hall of Fame actually. We'll come back to it.
Well, they hit 4 sixes in their partnership.
Yeah.
Which is not for nothing. I mean, I allowed myself the indulgence, the ball before Joseph was dismissed for 43, I allowed myself the indulgence of saying, sure, it's 3 wickets to win, but it's 183 runs to win. I just thought it was worth reintroducing that to the mix because at that juncture, you know, those two are kind of going for it.
Yeah.
They're not really going for the runs, they're just batting aggressively.
Yeah,
if they're still there at 2.
If they don't get out,
exactly,
if they do this for another 2 hours, then it's
unlikely as it was to be.
I mean, the margin's not that big. 126, was it?
Might be a bit more than that. 164.
164. Yeah. I mean, that's not a massive margin considering the amount of time, considering that we were wrapped up well before tea on this last day.
Considering Australia made 598 as well. I mean, the Windies have batted for 209 overs in the test match, I think it works out to be. And had you gone the over-under at the start, you would have said, well, if they bat for 209 overs, they've had a pretty good test match. And look, I don't want to be patronising in saying that. They've still been beaten heavily. Australia did declare 2 down in the second dig. But in perspective, like, this might just be a bit of a stepping stone.
Yep.
We've talked about marginal gains, getting it into the penultimate session from where they were on day 2 with an understaffed bowling attack with Seals not doing a lot of heavy lifting with the ball, with Roach injured, with a lot of responsibility on Eldazari Joseph, on Roston Chase, who has batted well today for a half century, but he's not a first choice spinner anymore.
Yeah.
They've probably done well enough here to consider it almost a pass mark in the circumstances.
They've avoided the thing, and this is often the worst and the most dispiriting thing. Once you concede a massive score, then you go out there and get bowled out for 120 on the same pitch where the other mob's just made 500, 600. That's when you really feel terrible about yourself.
Yeah, the scoreboard pressure wasn't kind of given in soon.
Sure, so they can go, okay, well, we bowled poorly and we gave away too many runs, but we didn't give in and we did take it deep into the fifth day. So I think that's not for nothing. Australia obviously expected to win this match. There's that dilemma of playing at home, right, where you don't get credit for it if you win because you're supposed to win, but you do get smashed if you don't win. And the position they've ended up in, this is the 22nd test match where Stark, Cummins, Hazlewood, Lyon have played together. I mean, that's extraordinary. I was trying to figure some stuff out today. I don't think anyone else has done that.
Well, they've played more tests together than Gillespie, McGrath, Lee, Warm. We were doing a lot of, sort of comparisons through the week about those two groups and their relative averages when playing together. And you're right, I mean, and they need this four to stay together as much as they can, and that makes the Cummins injury, and it is an injury, drawn into focus. I mean, he would never bowl on today. I mean, I know they tried to give the impression that he might bowl with the second new ball if required, but we saw him have scored a couple of balls to the rope. That might have been self-preservation given where they were in the test match, but it looks like he was under a fair bit of duress. So in all probability, overwhelmingly likely that Scott Boland plays at Adelaide Oval next week.
Well, test match average of 9.55. Does it go down? Can he keep it going down? Does he break into double figures? What a tragedy that would be. But he has a lot of bowling to do to reach the 2,000 delivery minimum qualification
to get
on the official averages list.
I think from memory, that's about 10 test matches on average to get
there. I think he's bowled 484 balls. That's what's popping up in my mind.
In two tests. So he needs to keep playing well. He might play because three or four of this 15, right? Because they're not going to bowl. Well, no, that's not right, because he won't play at all in India.
Yeah.
He might play 1-2 this summer and 1-2 in England.
He might play in India. I mean, they don't mind him for sort of cart horse work either.
It's more that the probability of them playing more than two seamers when Stark and Cummins are in the side, they want Stark to reverse swing and they want Cummins to lead.
England had about 16 players sick over in Pakistan, so you never know. One up for Australia. Anything else to cover before we Hall of Fame?
I think we Hall of Fame.
Okay. Final word, Hall of Fame, brought to you by Woodstock Cricket. They make officially the best cricket bat in the world and the second best cricket bat in the world. And you can get 20% off TFW20. That's your code.
I'll tell you what, when Josh De Silva had that thick edge behind today, it came off beautifully. Nice thick edges.
I flew right into the cordon.
It did. Nice catching height. If you're going to edge him, you're one of the... Look, come through up here.
He hasn't had a great test match, but he has made a test ton with that Woodstock bat.
Woodstockcricket.co.uk, TFW20. Buy yourself a bat for Christmas.
Why not? Hall of Fame, the bit that I was getting back to before, I can't even remember what it was, so you better go first.
What I was going to put in there was the fact that Taylor and Warne combined for 51 dismissals. By that I mean bowled by Warne and caught by Taylor in a slip. 51 now for Lyon Smith.
Yeah.
I think that's significant. Mm-hmm. And that's the most ever for a fielder bowler combination. Of course, there are several wicketkeeper bowlers above that, but outfielders, if you like, with bowler, that now is joint first. And I thought that
joint
was noteworthy.
First. Okay, there must be a
Brat lot. And I, Brat was actually all over that. We were sleuthing it at the back of the
there
box.
There must be a Court Dravid bowled Kumble kind of situation where there'd be quite
probably
a lot.
More. Yeah, that's for Australia. I might not have had that appropriate caveat. For Australia, it's the most.
Well, I just said he took the most outfield catch for Dravid, so I'm wondering who the bowler was that he took the most catches off. I'd throw in Mitchell Stark's catch to finish the test match.
So sensational.
Tea break's coming up, and it's like, they don't want to extend it into the last session. Yeah. Can they finish this off? Comes flying in after he dropped that one at deep third, at fine leg yesterday when he was similarly on the move. This one flying in off Lyon, diving in to give him another six for that's nine times that Nathan Lyon's taken six wickets or better.
I love the fact that Lyon did it in the fourth innings for the second time this year. Yeah. I mean, there's the Lahore performance, which is close to the best of his career, I would say, if you kind of consider the context of it being the final day of the series and all the pressure being on him.
The Lahormans, if you will.
The Lahormans. Yeah. But today, six wickets. It's the fifth time in his career he's taken a five-wicket bag in the fourth innings.
There you go.
He's taken 21 fifers in Test cricket. He's up around 450 Test wickets. If he plays all 15, he'll be... he won't reach Courtney Walsh's 519. He's next, by the way. Courtney Walsh is the next on that list. There's a pretty big gap after overhauling so many bowlers in the low 400s. There's a fair bit of work to do to get to 519. But if he plays all 15, he'll be up around that mark, at least beyond 500.
My last nomination is when Roston Chase got to his 50 and they threw the package up on the TV and it said 2 fours, 1 6. It was a very short package. They normally throw in every good shot that someone's played, and he played about 200 forward defensives. So, it was about a six-second highlight package.
Yeah, there are a few of those highlight packages cut today where there wasn't a lot going on. But, credit to Roston Chase, who came back in the side after averaging 13 and 17 in the last two calendar years. We all thought Rakeem the Dream would be here. He's not here. We're not quite sure why he's not here. But Chase didn't bowl well, but he did well in the second dig with the bat. And that's something to build for next week to Adelaide, which is where we go next.
That is where we go next. The Final Word Daily will resume in Adelaide, outside Adelaide Oval. You can chime in and see us there. If you want to help us keep making the show, patreon.com/thefinalword.
Other bits and pieces. We've got... are we doing a story time?
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully, working Jeff and Brad are doing a story time. I've just got to go and rest for a couple of days. Otherwise, I won't be able to talk in Adelaide. But I am doing an interview on Tuesday at the Melbourne Cricket Ground, which you won't want to miss. It's a bit left field.
Okay.
It's a bit left field, but it's going to be fucking brilliant.
It's a bit left. It's a bit centre wing.
It's a bit centre wing. There you go. That's better. It's a bit centre wing.
Yeah, broadcast flank.
It's a bit born to play in September.
It's a
born
bit,
to play finals.
It's a bit busted ribs. It's a bit
it's a
going
bit
through with
lung.
It. It's a bit punctured lung. Going
it's a bit
through with
Dimmies
it anyway.
And Forges.
Yeah, spotlight sale, $9.99.
You can't work it out from that, you're never going
to
work it out.
No, and yeah, it probably won't mean much to you, but you should listen to it anyway. We will keep making shows because that's what we do. Keep an eye on the feed, on the old YouTubes or on the audio.
These videos are good, by the way. Jeff's doing a great job pulling them all together. So we've got the new microphones and all the rest of it. So if you're a non-YouTube person with us usually, why not jump on there and hit the bell and you can see the videos pop up whenever Jeff posts one. They're nice.
Yeah, share them around. Tell your friends. The more the merrier. All right, final word. Jeff Lemon, Adam Collins. See you later.
Protected, brother, I ain't fenced in. If my future question my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about